Yes, you will receive something of a scholarship of some sort. We'll get it to you. First order of business, in those bags you have a Bible. I would like for you all to take them out. I know you probably have your own Bibles at home and all, but this is a Bible teaching church. We want you to take your Bibles out. Now we're going to have a test. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No more tests for a while. Don't want to lose you here this day. I'd like to have you all of us here, turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. I will be speaking to the graduates, but I'm going to be speaking to all of us here. As a matter of fact, I want to make sure that all of you here remember to put your cap and gown on now. Because one thing that we learn as believers in Jesus Christ is that we never stop learning. And that's the title of my message today. We never stop learning. And the verse that I want to point you to this morning is Romans 8, 28. Verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Would you all join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. A day that always gives us a hope in our young people. A hope for the future of the church. Young people that have come to know you and love you. And to know that they're loved by you. But all of us here today are blessed in knowing that you care about this very moment in which we stand before you or sit before you, and know that you care about the very moment when we leave this building and go out into the world, to our homes, to our workplaces, to our schools. And you care about everything that happens in our lives. So much so that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us in good times and in bad. So my hope and prayer, Lord, is that you would anoint us now and bless us with your Spirit so that we might understand these things, and especially these graduates here today, that they would take hold of this word of yours and consider it precious every day that they have breath, every day of their lives. And may we also have that preciousness toward your word, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the end of a school year for some can be seen as quite a dramatic event. Depending on the circumstances of students, teachers, and their parents. For example, those who are graduating from a particular level of educational endeavor, we have a number here today, whether it be high school, college, or a certain kind of vocational school, are usually looking forward to either the next level to tackle, or they're ready to challenge the workforce and the employment positions that might be available. And then you think of the teachers at the end of a school year. Teachers are just relieved that they will have a little time to catch up on their breathing before getting back to the grind. Right, teachers? Any teachers here? How many teachers we have here today? Okay, this is for you too. And parents. Let me see all the parents of people, of kids in schools. Parents of kids in schools today. Parents. You just don't know what to think at the end of a school year, do you? I mean, You have to figure things out in dollars and cents all the time, and it kind of gets a little bit weird. Oh, and what about teachers who are also students and who are also parents? Do we have any teachers who are also students and parents? Not too many today? Okay. Well, there is a group like that, you know. Some teachers go back for, their masters and doctorates and all of that. Well, let's not think about them anyway, because they're probably going crazy. That's why they're not here. It's just too painful to think about that. But the remainder of students in all of these schools, at whatever level they may be, they don't see the end of the school year quite as dramatic as those leaving. I mean, they might have a great sense of relief that at least for a while, be it a few weeks before summer school or a couple of months before fall sessions begin, that they can just stop learning. You just stop learning. You close the books and that's it. You don't learn anymore. It's summertime. It's my time. But that's a misconception. It's a misconception because the fact is none of us ever stops learning. None of us ever stops learning. Not one of us. And I truly thank the Lord for that, because He's given us a mind and He's given us a heart that need to be fed, that need to be nourished, not just with academic lessons, but more importantly, with the truth of His Word. To all of our graduates who participate in the baccalaureate service, we give you a Bible, as I've asked you to take it out of your gift bags. Because it is our sincere desire that you will open it every day of your lives for its rich spiritual benefits. But I'm here to tell everyone that's in this room today that have a Bible on your lap or in your hands that I encourage you to read it as well for the very same reason. I want you to read it every day of your lives for the rich spiritual benefits that it has. Take, for instance, now this is speed Bible stuff, okay? So you got to be ready. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's a very long chapter, by the way. Longest in the Bible. Got a lot of verses. But there it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is a lamp and a light. It's a lamp unto our feet so we know where we're going, to the light unto our path so we can follow where God wants us to go. A wonderful benefit for all of us in this room, not just for our graduates here. Now, if you'll go all the way to the front of the book of Psalms, to chapter 19, but keep your finger in 119. So go to chapter 19, keep your finger in 119. See, they're still learning, aren't they? And so are we. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." And in this section that we're going to look at in verses 7 through 11, there are a number of statements made about the Word of God, names given to the Word of God, the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ know exactly what that means. If it had not been for the law of the Lord revealing our hearts, that we are sinners and that we need a Savior, would we have ever come to Jesus? But it was the law that pointed us to Christ, which is what Paul teaches us in the book of Galatians. It is the law that is our schoolmaster that brings us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The law of the Lord is perfect, complete, which is what the meaning of perfect is. Complete, it converts the soul. And then it's called the testimony of the Lord, and the testimony of the Lord is sure. The very testimony and witness that there is a God that created the heavens and the earth. There is a God who loved you with an everlasting love and loves you even still today. The testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Many of us here, before we came to know Jesus personally as our Lord and Savior, when we opened the Bible, maybe for the first time, and we read it, we could see the words, but we didn't understand it. Was that anybody's experience? Certainly was mine. I guess I'm the only one. No, a couple more over here. A few of us. Oh, do you understand what I mean? We'd open it and say, I don't understand what this means. But then the Lord, through the Spirit of God that He put into us when we came to know Jesus, all of a sudden opened our eyes and we began to understand what John 3:16 means when it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then we could read other verses where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we could begin to understand that. Because the testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. But then there are the statutes of the Lord. And those are right. They're right because there's nothing wrong with them, in essence. But it's talking about the righteousness of God. And the statutes that we have to follow. We have statutes in the law today just for our daily living within the community in which we live and the society in which we live. There are statutes that we have to follow. How much greater to understand the statutes of the Lord, which are right. And when we follow the statutes of the Lord, it rejoices our heart. We get excited for what God has given us to keep us living right. And then the commandment of the Lord, that's self-explanatory. It is a command of God. And the word of God is a command as well. And the commandment of the Lord is pure. And it enlightens the eyes. It opens our eyes, you see, to these very same truths. And then in verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. And what we need to understand about that, why is that applied to the word of God? Because, you see, we cannot have a fear, the proper fear of the Lord, without having a proper understanding of the Word of God. And the fear of the Lord, it says, is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord, in a very simple definition, the fear of the Lord is reverence and respect and awe toward God. In other words, God is high above all of His creation, and we're not. But He is. And He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our lives. So the fear of the Lord is important because it's in the Word of God that we keep our eyes and hearts on the Lord. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. But then the psalmist says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. In other words, you know, in life we desire a lot of things. Some of you have already decided that you want to go to certain schools and you want to attain certain degrees and whatnot. Okay, you can desire that, but more to be desired than that is the Word of God. Even if you're headed in that direction, if you're headed to the school, wherever it may be, desire more the Word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, the words of God, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Verse 11 says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What that tells us is that God loves you so much that there's always something good in taking hold of what God has given us and doing what is in God's Word and realizing He wants to bless you. The reward is God's blessing. It's going to be different for everybody, but all of us receive one major reward, and that is His presence. His presence and His love and His grace and His mercy. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now, you got to go all the way back to Psalm 119 for just a moment, because there are some other benefits of the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. What a benefit it is to know that if we stay in God's Word, we won't offend God with our sin. I mean, we're sinners. We're all in this room sinners. We all can falter. We all can fail. We'll see that in a moment. But what a benefit it is that if I have the Word of God hidden in my heart, I will not sin. I will be convicted so much I don't want to do anything that offends the God that loves me so much. And there is Psalm 119 verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. Now, this is very important too. Because all of us need comfort from time to time. All of us will suffer some kind of affliction. Some of us may be suffering right now because of a loss of a loved one. Or we may be suffering right now because we have somebody that's very dear to our hearts that is suffering a lot of pain themselves. We may have gone through a tragedy. We may have gone through some traumatic situation. There may be some financial situations that we're dealing with in this life. But you know what? My comfort in my affliction is the Word, because it says, Thy Word has quickened me, which means the Word of God has made me alive and has given me life in the midst of my affliction. That says that God is going to be with me through every thing that I go through in life. Psalm 119, verse 133, it's a really long chapter. It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. God does not want any sin to overcome you greater than the life that he's given you to live. So to order my steps means establish my steps, Lord, and it is your word that's going to strengthen me and not allow iniquity to have dominion in my life. And then I want you to turn to Psalm 138, because you see, the question now is, how does God see his word? What we've just seen before that is how we're to see God's word as a tremendous benefit in our lives. But how does God see his word? It's a beautiful verse. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy mercies, your abundant mercies, and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He has magnified his word. He has made his word to be as great and as grand as even above his name. And his name being his name, his authority, his power, everything that God is, he has magnified his word. Why? Because in all of his word, we get to know him in all of his name. Hold on to those things today. I hope then that you will take this gift and read it every day. And maybe not this one, if you have your Bible and you put notes in it and stuff, but read your Bibles every day, because it will not only be your roadmap for life, but it will be the light that will shine brightly to reveal its eternal truths. Now we're really going to get into our study today, because I want you to focus your attention on three thoughts as we look at that one verse from the book of Romans, verse 28. Of Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The first thought that I want to share with you is this: learn from life's lessons. Learn from life's lessons. Remember, we never stop learning. That's all of us here in this room. Everybody in this room. We never stop learning. So let's learn from life's lessons. Let's learn from life's experiences. Because every time we go out the door of our homes, we're going to experience stuff. Sometimes good stuff, sometimes not so good. So we have to be ready. How do we deal with that when we know that God is with us? You know, some people would try to read into this verse. Let's go back to that verse for a moment. Some people would try to read into this verse an interpretation which would say God works good into all things. But that's not what Paul is saying here. It's not what he was saying when he wrote this. He didn't say God works good into all things. That's not what it says. One truth that we need to remember is that not everything that is going to happen in your life is going to be good. Not everything that is going to happen in your life is going to be good. All anyone has to do is look around and see that there are a lot of bad things happening in this world of ours. I could give you a list. And you could come up with a list too. But I'm not here today to talk about bad things. What I do want to say is that whatever happens to any of us, and again, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. Whatever happens to any of us, we can learn from these things. Whatever happens to any of us. Because we know this world is full of good things and bad things. We've all been in this world for a little while at least, some more than others. And every one of us will, in all likelihood, experience both good and bad. But again, notice what the verse does say. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now that's an important aspect to this verse. To love God. Now I'm just going to ask you the question. I'm going to ask everybody the question. Do you love God? Do you love God? Because it is essential that you know God and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in so doing, you are then able to trust him. To be able to say that I love God means that I know Him and I trust Him. And it's essential that you realize this important connection in your life. Why we're here in a church and not a city hall or not at the civic center. We're here because your families behind you have loved you so much, they wanted you to know who Jesus Christ is. And they want you to know Him, and they want you to trust Him. A very favorite passage of mine is Proverbs chapter 3. And that's where we want to begin again. So, guess what, guys? Proverbs 3 in your Bibles. They're waking up. Just give them a second. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think we can check our hearts today, and that's everybody in this room. We can check our hearts to say, you know what? Sometimes I do lean on my own understanding, and I don't really trust the Lord. We can say that. You don't have to admit it, and you don't have to raise your hand. God already knows. He knows about our hearts in this room today. Theirs and mine and yours included. God knows our hearts. What we need to do is trust the Lord in all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And then notice the next verse, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. A very essentially important verse. In all your ways acknowledge Him. I don't think I have to state this more than once, but all of you are sitting here today because of God's blessings upon you. And you acknowledge that. You have accomplished what you've accomplished, not just because you had to study hard and study a lot, and sometimes, you know, burn the midnight oil to get, you know, things done, but God was with you all the way through, and you can thank Him for that, right? How about all of us here? Are we thanking Him for everything that we've accomplished? I mean, let's face it, in this room today, there's a lot of accomplishment in this room. Many have climbed the ladder of success. Praise God. Many of us have reached some high educational standards and degrees and all. Praise the Lord. Let's acknowledge Him for that. For Him bringing us to these places so that we can be His servants and we can be His light and His examples to other people. And when we do so, He directs our paths. But I don't want you to think of this as saying, okay, I got to acknowledge Him so that He will direct my path. Just acknowledge Him. He directs your path so that in everything else that you do, you'll acknowledge Him. The whole point is keep acknowledging the Lord for the things that you accomplish. And then do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Again, fear the Lord. Trust the Lord. Reverence the Lord. Respect the Lord. Bow to the Lord because He's worthy. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of you giving Him all that you've accomplished. Because there's a benefit. Look at the next verse. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. God is preparing you for something. I don't know what it is, but He does. So, to strengthen you in your future endeavors, acknowledge Him, trust Him, fear Him, and give Him your whole life. You can trust the Lord in every circumstance and through every trial that you face. You can trust the Lord in dark times and in blessed times. You can trust Him in every experience that you will encounter. And the best thing is that you will learn from these experiences that you have. You can learn from them. And you can let the Lord take you through these things. And you can grow from them. Grow in the Lord. In this room here today, there's some people that are in their 40s. You guys think that's old, huh? Some you think Some of you think that, you know, there's some people in here that are 50, in their 50s. That's really old. And then there's some like me in their 60s. Oh, my God, they're ancient. And then we have some in their 70s, right? Praise the Lord. Young ones. And in their 80s? Praise the Lord. Where's the 80s? Anybody? I know. And you know what? They're young in the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? Doesn't matter how old we are. They're growing. They're here to grow. I once spoke to a man who was a Christian believer. Probably 50, 60 years of his life, he read the Bible every day. And he was in his late 70s, early 80s. And I asked him about his life in the Bible. And he said to me, every day that I read God's Word, I learn something new. Every day. Because we never stop learning. I asked him, how many times have you read the Bible? He said, I don't know, I lost count. But it's over 50 times. But every day I read it, and every day I grow, and every day I learn something new. Because you see, that book in your hand, that Bible, is an eternal book. It's not, you know, I mean, it'll wear out over time, certainly. And some of us actually wear out our Bibles because we write in them and we highlight them and we make notes in them and pages start flying, you know, when we're trying to tell somebody about the Lord and we're all excited about it, you know. But the truths in it never grow old. That's why as Christians, no matter how old we are, in our teens or in our 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond, we don't get old. We're still new. We're still new. And we need to realize that we still have room to grow. We have room to grow. Romans 8:29, the next verse from our text, has something of great interest for us in that, because he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many, many brethren. Listen, this is God's desire and goal for all of us going through all things. Remember, we know that all things work together for good. Excuse me. The goal is what God wants to do with us through those things that we go through. The first thing is he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants to take us through these struggles and trials, and he wants to mold us and to shape us to be more and more like Jesus. That's why we come week in and week out to church. That's why we come and study the Word of God. That's why we come to worship the Lord and lift up our voices and praise to God, because we want to be more and more like Christ. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul makes another mention of that in another way. But he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And by the way, you know who the glory of the Lord is? Jesus. He's the glory of the Lord. But notice this. As in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed. Now, not only conformed, which means molded and shaped into his image, but we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every time we experience something new, we go from one glory to another, from the glory of God who is with us to the next glory. By faith, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory, by grace to grace. That's the life of the believer. We never stop having God's blessings and God's presence, even in our times of struggle. And one last thing I want to say on this point. Paul spoke about his own experiences this way. And look at, if you will, Philippians chapter 4. So turn to Philippians chapter 4 in your Bibles, because it's really important you hold on to this. Because this explains what we're talking about today. What Paul is saying about his own life and his own life experiences, he sums it up in a beautiful way. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Now, Paul says, I have learned. Paul didn't stop learning. The book of Philippians was written when he was in prison, and it was late in his life. This was one of the later books that Paul wrote. But he says, I have learned. He didn't stop learning. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. What kind of states do we find ourselves in sometimes? Look at the next verse. Verse 12. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, I know how to deal with bad things. I know how to deal with the lack of food or with beatings. I know how to deal with those things. I know how to deal with being empty, but I also know how to abound. I know how to deal with having a lot of things given to me. See, this is our lives, isn't it? In some cases, we have a lot of things given to us, and in other cases, we have a lot of things taken from us. This is life, capital L-I-F-E, life. He says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. There's that phrase again, all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you know how he does it? Because he says in the next verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. All things. In other words, I can be blessed in abundance, but I can also know that God's with me in my emptiness. And Paul had nothing when he went to the blade of his executioner, because he lost his head for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had nothing that he wanted on this earth. He had everything that he wanted in heaven. Folks, it's important to know that we can do all things. We can know how to be abased and we can know how to abound because of Christ who strengthens us. Never forget that lesson. Never forget that lesson. And by the way, life is the greatest classroom there is. Let's learn from it. The teacher never goes out of the classroom. The teacher never leaves us alone so we can throw erasers at the other kids. Right? Our teacher says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Stay in the classroom. Secondly, learn what real value is. Learn what has real value, in other words. Learn what has real value. I mentioned earlier that I was an educator in the public schools many years ago. And education has certainly been a significantly important part of our nation and society. But it is much more than just going to school and receiving diplomas and degrees. It is and always should be about learning to treat others with respect. I wonder if that's being taught in schools today. To respect others. As the Bible teaches us, actually. To love one another, to love our neighbors, to love our enemies. There's a lot of things that God tells us that we should do. Are we doing those things? If just on the surface in the public schools, if we were just to teach respect, would we have the problems that we have in the schools today? How about being honest? How about having integrity in everything that you do? Y'all know what integrity is. Integrity is being honorable, truthful, faithful, and reliable. Integrity is being held together by something or someone. As a Christian, we are held together by the love of God and by the Word of God. We're held together by the power of God and the Spirit of God. So we are integrated by God's love and by God's grace. You know the word disintegration? What does it mean? To disintegrate means to just, you know, all the molecules go everywhere, right? That's disintegration. Everything just spreads out. Integration means something held together. God has brought you together, held you together individually, so that He can use you in your life and in your walk and in your calling. So be honorable, be truthful, be faithful in all things and reliable, because that's our continuing education. And our continuing education should teach us to know the difference between right and wrong. And when a choice must be made, it is choosing that which is right every time. Why? Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Because the testimony of the Lord is right. And it's clean and it's pure. Remember that friends may come and go. You're going to experience that, especially you high school kids. Not in high school anymore, by the way, right? But that's what you're going to learn. Friends may come and go. Jobs may change. You may end up living halfway around the world. But there is someone who will always be with you wherever you go. And of course, I know that that's the Lord, but there's somebody else. You. You'll be with you. Why is that important? Why did I bring that up? Because honesty and integrity and faithfulness are qualities that show through your character. When you're alone, your character needs to acknowledge that God's with you. You see, I once heard a great preacher say, reputation is what men think you are. Character is what God knows you are. You can either have a bad character or a good character. You can have a character that is based in the world or a character that is based in the Word of God. And what does the Word of God teach us? It teaches us about integrity, about honesty, about faithfulness, about love. Three qualities given to us in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said, faith, hope, and love, these three are the virtues given to every believer. But the greatest of these is love. So, you go with your character. Let your character shine for Jesus Christ. And then Philippians chapter 4, if you're still in Philippians, look at verses 8 and 9, because it says, finally, brethren, excuse me, I've been struggling with change of temperatures around here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What a beautiful list for you to take and say, you know, this is the character that I want to live by. Thinking about those things, you know, meditating upon that which is good and lovely and pure and of good report. Noble, the nobility of the Spirit of God in your life. These things are what we're to keep our minds upon. And I can tell you this, the world is trying to do its best to get us to take our minds off of all of those things. You know, the movies that we sometimes see, you know, we have to be very careful. We need to be as discerning about those things as we are about, you know, spiritual issues in the church. Those are important, but so is our daily life. What we read, what we see, what the internet has on it, a lot of it is out to just get you and destroy you. Sometimes turn everything off and spend time with Jesus. Just spend time with the Lord. He loves you that much. You know, it's been said that we are to live life so that we can look ourselves in the mirror and see a person that does not stand ashamed of anything. I hope and pray that all of us today can stand and not be ashamed of anything in our lives, because our character has been molded and shaped by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that doesn't mean is it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. All you guys in the front here, do y'all make any mistakes in the 4 or 5 years or 6 years or 10 years or however many years you've been in school? Okay, some didn't. You know, we need to take notes from them because they didn't raise their hand. All of us have made mistakes. We failed a time or two. But if we mess up, let's admit our mistakes. Let's seek forgiveness if we need to seek forgiveness of anyone. Let's dust ourselves off and let's return to following the Lord. In other words, let's keep moving forward. Don't backslide. Don't slide away from God. Move forward toward Him. He'll straighten you out because He loves you. And He'll do it in a loving way. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not written to unbelievers. That's written to believers. It's written to the church. And then in Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. I want you to listen to this statement by the psalmist, because he's talking about us. He says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Everybody in this room has some kind of trouble today, right? Some kind. It may not be a very big trouble, but it's trouble. Some of us have greater troubles. Oh, we need to get on our knees and start praying. But all of us have troubles. But if we trust in the Lord and we call out to Him, He hears. He delivers us out of all of our troubles. And then He says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. This has always been a very deeply sensitive verse of Scripture for me. Because I know what it means to have a broken heart. But then again, I don't say that apart from everyone in this room that has had his or her heart broken. We've all been brokenhearted. I think the biggest heartbreak in our lives, not so much the puppy love that got away or something like that, you know. It's not that. You know what it is? The biggest heartbreak for me or for any of us that understand this is when we came to realize that our sins grieved the God who created us. And all of a sudden I had this feeling of guilt, a weight that was like a millstone around my neck. But the Lord says that He draws near to those with a broken heart, and He saves such as have a contrite, sorrowful heart because of that sin. I am so sorry that I sinned against You, Lord. David himself said to the Lord, and after one of his great sins, he said, against You and You alone have I sinned. Against You alone. God knows our hearts. And when we confess, when we put aside pride and we go to Him with that kind of heart, He came, by the way, Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted and to set captives free. Guilt is one of the great things that capture us and keep us out of the love of God. And then He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Isn't that just true? Just because we're righteous doesn't mean we can go around telling people, oh, listen, I don't go through anything bad now that I'm a Christian. No, that's when we have more things that we have to be honest about. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Eventually, all is taken care of. Lastly, Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist says, many are the afflictions. Oh, did I do that one already? Yeah, okay. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Did you notice that? Though he fall. The steps of a righteous man are ordered. They're established by the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we don't fall from time to time. Therefore, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Well, there's one more lesson that we need to learn, and that is this. Learn about the richness of your relationship to God. And let me word it one other different way. Learn about God's relationship to you. Learn about your relationship to God and learn about God's relationship to you. You see, if you look at Romans 8:28 one more time, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to God's purpose. His purpose. According to God's purpose. Did you notice that God is mentioned twice then in this verse? The first time he's mentioned, the verse speaks about our relationship with him. He is able to cause all things to work together for our good if we love him. He has created us to have a relationship with other people, but he also created us to have a relationship with him. And if I have a relationship with God and in Christ, then he's able to cause all things to work together for my good. The same applies for all of us. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is able then to cause all things to work together for our good. And what this tells me is that there are situations or circumstances that that will come our way that we may not like. I don't like every situation that happens to me. I don't just go, oh man, I got to like this because God sent it to me. You know, I don't have to like it. When bad things happen, I don't like it. Right? Am I alone here? No. I don't have to like it. But, oh, don't stop there. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we can gain from those experiences, whatever they may be. We may feel down and discouraged. We may even be disappointed and devastated. We might even feel like we've been dumped on and deserted. But if we have a relationship and a fellowship with Jesus Christ, we can know with certainty that He is going to cause all things, no matter what we go through, He will cause all things to work together for our good. We can live a life of hope because we know that the Lord is working on our behalf. We sang a song earlier when you guys were out there in the foyer about our God. Our God is greater and all. Well, let me tell you, our God is good. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. Our God is powerful. Our God is merciful and gracious and compassionate. Our God is love. Our God is ever present, ever powerful, ever knowledgeable, and the list can go on and on. But what you go home with today is that our God loves you with an everlasting love. That's how Jesus loves you. And all I need to point you toward is the cross. Look at the cross. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Never take your eyes off of what Christ has done for you. Never take your eyes off of His love that will always manifest itself when you call out to Him. So, I know you probably already got your diplomas and your degrees and all of that. But there's only one that matters for all of us in this room today, with or without cap and gown. It is that word that we hear or will hear when we enter into heaven. The words of the Lord Himself when He says, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." That is the greatest diploma to receive. It is His calling you into His kingdom. I want you to be there. I want you to be there when the time comes. And I want you all to be there. Don't put aside anything that will keep you or that will get you to that place where you will be with Christ forever. Because the alternative is not very good. Be with the Lord Jesus. Call upon His name. Believe that He came to die on a cross for you, that He shed His blood for your forgiveness, and that He rose from the dead, and you shall be saved. Come to Jesus. Shall we pray?